You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, good morning once again to everybody. Today we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. And we're going to be starting a series called Community. And we're going to be looking at who we are as the church. Being the church, what does that mean? What is our purpose? What is our goal? What is our function? And to help us with that this week, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. In life, there are moments where it's good to pause and to reflect. There are moments in life where it's important to think about what your purpose is, what your goal is, what your calling is. And there's been moments in my life where that's been made really clear at different moments and different points in time. One such moment of clarity for me was my calling into ministry. You see, the story for my call began on the mission field. I had just graduated high school, so I was a graduating senior, and I had left and I had flown internationally for the first time by myself, flew to Nicaragua, where I served for 6 weeks in Nicaragua with some missionary friends of ours, and I served in Chinandega. And that was the first time I had flown internationally, so that was a little bit nerve-wracking, especially going through Miami Airport by myself. Not a fan of that place. Anyway, on the mission field, I served there for 6 weeks, and that was the first opportunities I had to preach. I got to preach 3 times while I was there, had to use an interpreter to do so, which was a fun experience, having kind of everything echoed as you're going through the sermon. But it was there, and on that way home, I had just finished up a service there with the church we were serving alongside, and I was driving back, and the missionary was driving, I was in the passenger seat, and I remember looking out over the fields of Nicaragua and thinking, in that moment, it just became really clear that this was God's purpose for my life. Part of His purpose for me was to be a minister, to serve Him. And I say all of that because for me, that was a moment of clarity. That was a moment where the light bulb turned on. That was a moment where my identity made a lot of sense. Well, this morning, we're together in a new season. We're in a new season as a church family and a new phase that we have to go through. And to get together this morning, I want us to reflect on these things, on what our purpose is. What is our identity as the body of Christ? What are our values as we think about the truth of who each one of us is and who each one of us is God is calling us to be, and then who God is calling us to be collectively together? So before we get too far into this, let's start with a little bit of context. In Hebrews chapter 10, in this passage, the author talks about the old system. He talks about the sacrificial system. He talks about the role of the high priest and what it looked like under the old covenant. And then he talks about the new covenant, as was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. And Jesus then as the great high priest, the one who has brought the sacrificial system to completion. He is the great, the better high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice, that being Himself. And that leads us into our passage today. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank you for the Bible and how you choose to communicate to us through your word. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would teach all of us to be more like you. Lord, as we reflect together on who we are, Lord, may we find our identity in you and in you alone. Lord, I pray that you would be with us in this service. Teach us and, Lord, use us as you would have us enter into the mission field that's all around us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go through this service, there are three things that I want you to see this morning. First off is who he is. Secondly is who you are. And thirdly, then, is who we are together. So let's start with who he is. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house. I want to go a little bit out of order for those who are following your notes. But he is our access to the Father. Through what Christ has done for you, through what Christ has done for us, in Jesus, there is nothing preventing you from being near to God. In Christ, God has drawn near to you and has removed the obstacles that were obstructing us from him. Those effects of the curse, the effects of the fall, our shame, our guilt, our sin that seeks to cling to us. It's all been dealt with because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. You see, Jesus is the greatest sacrifice. The sacrificial system existed as a way for broken people to have access to God. The sacrificial system was God's way of showing our desperate need for him, that we couldn't do it ourselves. And in the fullness of time, Christ came as the greatest sacrifice. I heard this in a sermon here recently, but I want to talk about it this morning because it's so true. Right now, you may ask yourself, why is the death of one person enough to cover all the sin, all this brokenness, all the darkness in our world, all the shame and the guilt and all the evil, all the bad things that we see around us and all the things that we've done ourselves? How is one death sufficient for all of that darkness? Not just on a global scale, but on a scale of the very fabric of the universe. How can one sacrifice cover all of that? Because Jesus is better. Jesus is more worthy. He is valuable above everything else. You take everything good, everything that has worth, everything that has beauty, everything that has value, and you put it on one side of the scale, and you put Jesus on the other side of the scale, and what you will find is that he is better. He is more beautiful. He is more good. He is more valuable than all of it. And he, my dear friend, was the sacrifice for you. He was the means to atonement for you. He was the sacrifice to cover every vain thing, every idle thought, every idle word, everything of self, sin, and shame, and guilt in our life. Jesus is better than, and he is your sacrifice. You see, he's not only the sacrifice, but he's also our priest. He is the great high priest. The high priest was the person who would enter into the Holy of Holies yearly to give sacrifice for the nation. It was a weighty responsibility. It was a responsibility where the high priest wasn't careful, the high priest could end up dead. But it was something that had to happen yearly. It was something that happened over and over and over again. But you see, Jesus is the better high priest. He entered in and offered sacrifice once for all. Where the earthly high priest had to enter in and do it over and over again, Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice one time for all. And because of Christ, you have access to the Father. One of my favorite illustrations when talking about access is an illustration that I heard from one of my mentors in Bible college. His name was Dr. Lucas, and he was my Greek professor and my New Testament professor at Bible college. And while he was at Southwestern Seminary, there is a place that was reserved in the seminary for doctoral students to work on their dissertations. That was a place reserved for professors to go in order for them to be able to study and to research and all that. It was set aside. It was a place not for the regular student body. Not even just for like master students. You had to be a PhD seeking student or a professor. But he remembers there was a time when he was working on his dissertation. And as he was working on his dissertation, he heard laughter and he heard the pitter patter of little feet. And he remembers looking outside his door where he was. And he saw a little girl running to her dad at the end of the hallway. You see, the girl had access to her father where others could not go. We have access to our heavenly father. We are welcomed in before him. We can run to him shouting, Abba, Father. Where other people would fear to tread is exactly where you have access because of your relationship to our father. So as we apply this, this means that you have a father. Through what Christ has done, we can be restored. We can be in right relationship with the one who made us. The God who made you and calls you to himself wants relationship with you. And because of Christ, you can have relationship with him. Through Christ, you also have a sacrifice. No matter what sins of the past or sins of the present or sins that would come our way in the future would seek to bog us down, you have a sacrifice that is sufficient for you. No matter what brokenness you feel, no matter what shame, all that stuff has been dealt with by Christ on the cross. So my encouragement then is every son and daughter, run to the Father. Every prodigal, everyone who would be away from him, come back home. When you're broken, when you're in need, run to Jesus. There is a sufficient sacrifice for us in Christ. And that leads us then to who you are. Secondly, who you are. So let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. You see, each one of us as a believer is called to walk by faith, to fully trust him. As sons and daughters, we are called to live our life the way our faith journey started. And that means walking by faith. Each and every day. On the normal days, we walk by faith. In the hard days, we walk by faith. In the good days, we walk by faith. In the days we don't know what to do or where to go, we walk by faith. And that means complete trust, complete dependence on our Father. And you see, we can trust him. There's grace. There is mercy for you. There is hope and provision for each and every day. Secondly, we see in this passage that you're made clean. You are clean. Through what Christ has done on the cross, you are made new. All the filth, all the grime and the stuff of our sin problems and sin condition has been done away with. All the dirt of this world that has been on you has been washed off. As I think about this, I think about Karis and Ruth as they like to play outside. And oftentimes what will happen is they'll go outside and they'll be playing with the dog. All three of them, you know, one of them will start digging and the other two will come alongside. And then all three of them will be digging in the same spot. So what happens is they end up with really dirty feet, really dirty hands, dirt pretty much everywhere, covering their face, on their hair. They look like little children who've been playing out in the mud because that's what they are. But in those moments, you know, it's not just time to come in and get the bath water ready. It's not just time to come in and get them ready for a bath. It's time to hose them off, right? So we get the shower ready. We get the shower down. We got to spray off the kids. We got to get all that dirt and all that mud and grime off of them. But when they're clean, all that stuff is removed from them. All that mud, all that dirt is gone. It's dealt with. But when the Lord makes us new, something similar happens. Spiritually, all the grime and the dirt that we accumulate living in this world. It's removed from us. So what that means, Christian, is when we are clean, we're actually clean. Because of what Christ has done and his righteousness, when he looks at you, he sees his own righteousness. And now, one of the things that Karis likes to do sometimes, we'll be getting ready for dinner or be getting ready for bed. And you know what she'll want to do? Run right back outside to the dirt and the mud. She's already clean, but she wants to go back out. But you know, we're getting ready for dinner or for a bed. And so it's not time for her to go back outside. But here's the thing about being clean. Oftentimes, spiritually, we do the same thing, right? Oftentimes, we can run back right back to the thing that made us dirty, right back to the thing that hurt us, right back to the thing that hurt others. When God makes you clean, you are in fact clean. Your state is new. You are a new creature. And yet, from time to time, living in this world, we get dirty. For the believer, then, this is a process of living by faith, but also living by repentance. When we fall short, when we make a mistake, when we sin, we run back to our Father. When we mess up, we run back to Him. This also, then, is a call to be holy. For each believer, this is a call to holiness, to live like Jesus, to be like Him, to say no to the things that made you dirty, to say no to the things that hurt you. It's also a chance to obey your Heavenly Father, to listen and not go back out to the mud. Christ has made you clean. Now walk in the cleanness that He has provided. And when we fall short, when we mess up, we run back to Him. So as we apply this today, walk by faith. Each and every day, in whatever circumstance you face in life, walk by faith. Follow Jesus daily. Following Jesus isn't just an activity for Sunday. It's something for each and every day. Secondly, and this one is one that's easier to say than it is sometimes to live out. Clean means the dirt is removed. Oftentimes we're clean, and yet mentally, emotionally, we can cling on to that baggage. We cling on to the guilt and the shame of the past. Being new is exactly that. It means you're new. You are clean. Christ has dealt with it. You don't have to hang on to it anymore. You can give it over to Him. But I know that can be more difficult in practice than me just talking about. And for my encouragement for you is if that's something you're dealing with, maybe there's shame from the past, there's guilt in your life, and you have been trying to give that over, is to give that over to the Lord and leave it with Him. To walk in the freedom that He provides. Thirdly, then, walk in cleanness. It's a call to be holy. When you have clean hands at the dinner table, you don't go run back out to the mud, right? When you have clean hands at the dinner table, don't pursue the things that made you dirty. Choose obedience to the Father. Choose obedience to Christ over running to the junk from the past. And when you get dirty, remember you have a sacrifice and you have a priest. Run back to Him. Thirdly, then, that leads us to who we are. You can start with me in verse 23 here. But let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. You see, as a church, we are a community. We are a community of believers. We are part of the bride. We are a body, each of us having a different function, a different purpose within that body. And we are a family. But what we see here is that we are a community. We are a people who needs more of Jesus. We need more of Him. We are those who cling to Him. We are those who cling to the hope that we have in Him. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. We together as a church, we collectively need more and more of Christ. We need more of Him. And in that place, then, that becomes part of our focus as a church family. as a body together then. We focus on him. And here's the truth, right? That also affects how we treat each other. Because there ain't any of us that got it all figured out, right? None of us know how to do this thing called life and do it perfectly. We all need him. And in that then is a way that we can connect to each other as we realize that other people also need him. We can relate to others. We can relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that should affect how we treat each other. Secondly, we're beneficial for each other. The body of Christ, the church together, is beneficial for each other. We need each other. We are to motivate. We're to encourage each other. We're to lift each other up and to encourage each other to acts of love and good works. Collectively, as a body, we can do more together than any of us could apart. We can do more for the kingdom together than any of us could by ourselves. And we collectively isn't just limited to activities here at the church either. The church is meant to be a place where you are equipped, you are prepared, you are trained, and then sent out into the mission field that God has for you right where he has you. In your workplace, in your community, in your schools, in your homes. God has you right where he wants you in this season. And you are meant to serve him faithfully in this season. But we are meant to be equipped and we are meant to be sent out of the church. And then we also do things in the church together. We help each other. We do things together to share the gospel. We do things to reach our community. We as a body together are strengthened and encouraged by your presence. We are better together. We need you. And you are better because of us. You are strengthened, equipped, encouraged by being part of our church family. We benefit each other. Thirdly, that means you also belong to a body. You see, now in Christ, you are part of the family. You belong to the body. Every believer belongs to the larger body of Christ. Every believer belongs to the bride of Christ. Every believer is part of that larger body. But we see that larger body take place in local assemblies of the church. So a call to follow Jesus, also then, if you're going to be obedient to that call, he would have you be part of a local church assembly. You belong here. You are part of the family here. Southside is a place for you. God uses his bride, despite the flaws that she may have, to accomplish his mission. God wants to use you. God wants to use us together to accomplish his purpose in this world. Therefore, because of what Christ has done for us, because of what Christ has done in our lives, because of who he is, because of who you are in him, and for the greater purpose, the greater mission that we are all called to, therefore, do not forsake the assembly. We need you, and you need the local church. It's not a suggestion, and it's not a recommendation. It's something beneficial for you. Some people can be prone to abandon ship. He talks about that here in the passage. Or to treat the church like another thing in our consumer-based mindset. I'm going to use it while it's beneficial for me, and then I'm going to leave it and go on to the next thing. Don't do that. That's not who we are. That's not who we are called to be. And honestly, it's disobedience to Christ. So here's a couple things that I want us to see about this. Don't be a church shopper. Don't be somebody in this consumeristic mentality that's like, you know what? The church isn't doing what I want to do, so I'm going to go somewhere else and do that thing over there. You be a church shopper. Don't do that. Secondly, don't be a church hopper. You're a little bit here, you're a little bit there, you're a little bit everywhere, right? Don't do that either. And don't be a church flopper. Don't be someone who says, you know what? I'm done with the church. I can be a Christian, but I don't need the church body. I saw a meme on that one time that had a pack of zebras and there was a lion. And there was one lone zebra, and that lone zebra was the guy saying, I don't need the church. Well, the reality is very similar to that. You need the local body. We're strengthened by you, and you're strengthened by us. Being a church flopper is dangerous. Being all three of those is dangerous. Don't do that. Instead, encourage one another. Be kind to one another. Help each other as we serve our King on mission together. You see, we're expectant believers. We're expectant disciples. Jesus is coming again, and we eagerly await for his return. But until he does, we are called on mission. And we are on mission as a community. We are on mission as a family. We are on mission as a body together. You see, until he comes back, we're called to serve faithfully with our family. See, church can be like family at the table. You know those times when you go to holiday gatherings, or maybe it's like the odd meeting that you're having with your family, and the family all gathers up. And you have around the family table, you'll have that cousin that you're friends with. You kind of like that one. You got the cousin that you think is odd and does crazy stuff. You got the little bit of crazy uncle. You got the kind aunt. You got the grandparents who are such a part of your life. You see, there's all kinds of people around the family table. Likewise, in the church body, there are all kinds of people here. There are all kinds of personalities, all kinds of opinions, all kinds of preferences, all kinds of giftings and perspectives and many roles. And yet we serve together. Just like at the family table, where everybody is different, everybody's unique, everybody belongs around the family table. Likewise, you belong here. Through Christ, you have a family. Support each other, and let's be on mission together. As we wrap things up, you belong here. And all of the strangeness of this season, and all of the uniqueness of this season, and all of the ups and downs of church life, you have a people that you belong to. You have a home, and you have a family here. You see, Jesus is our Savior. He is the sacrifice for us. He is our priest. You are loved. You are adopted into this family. You are clean, and you are called to be holy. And we are on mission together, encouraging, equipping, serving alongside each other for greater things. And we serve together as we wait for Christ to come again. Today, in this moment, how is the Lord speaking to you? What is he calling you to do? How is he calling you to respond? Maybe you need to be reminded of who he is. His great love for you. The fact that he was your sacrifice. That there's nothing in your life, sin, shame, guilt, any of that junk that clings to us, that beats him. Christ is sufficient for us. Maybe you're here today and you just need to be reminded of who you are in him. You're new, you're clean, you're called to be holy. Maybe, and it's true for all of us, this is a reminder to live a lifestyle of repentance. When we fall short, we mess up, we run back to our Father. And maybe this is just a reminder of who we are together. A church on mission. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect Savior, and we serve him together. You belong here. You have a place here. However you would respond in this moment, I'm going to pray, and I pray that you would be obedient to his Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to go to the cross. And Lord, that whatever is in our life, whatever that junk is, that you are greater than it. And Lord, that you are sufficient. Lord, that you cover all that shame and guilt. And Lord, you clothe us with your perfection. Lord, we thank you for the cross and for your sacrifice. Lord, I pray today that we would be reminded of who we are in you. Lord, that we are clean, we're made new, and called to be holy.
And Lord, help us as a church, as we seek to serve you and to make much of you. Be with us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, I want us to talk a little bit about where we go from here. What is next for Southside Baptist Church? Well, as I've explained this and kind of talked through it, this is a way that's helpful for me to think about it. We're kind of here right now, and we want to be there. So how do we get from here to there? Well, there's a bridge that's going to take to cross this, and it's kind of, you can think of it in three phases. Phase A is where we are now. Phase A is what we've been planning for about the last month or so, to make sure that we were ready for this moment. In Phase A, you're going to be hearing more from me. You're going to be hearing more from Brother Barry, more from Chris Church, and some other guest speakers as well. We're also thankful for Gracie Shelton and her willingness to help with the children's ministry here in this season. Within Phase A, we're going to be moving towards a search committee. The search committee is going to be formed following the bylaws of the church, and that will be selected then. So what's going to happen in the kind of end of Phase A, and we'll make sure everybody knows about this, there will be a vote for the search committee. There'll be a vote to confirm who's on that committee. We will make sure that information is available to you weeks ahead of time, okay? So Phase A kind of ends with the search committee being formed. Phase B is the longest part. Phase B then will be the search committee searching. That's the process of praying, going through resumes, making sure that those resumes are vetted, making sure this person is the person that God has in store for us. Phase B is potentially the longest part of this process. Phase C then is closer to the other side. That'll be the process of bringing on a pastoral candidate. That will be the process of interviewing, bringing him in, letting him meet the church, all that sort of stuff. We'll get there when we get there. What you can do right now, here's three things that you can do right now in this season that we're in together. First off is pray. Pray for your church. Pray for the staff. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the different leadership bodies as they're making decisions. Pray for those who will be on the search committee. Pray for whoever our next pastor will be. The Lord is not caught off guard, and he's not surprised by this. The Lord already knows who that person is. So let's go ahead and be praying for him, for his family in this season. Secondly, be plugged in. We need you here. We need your help. And that may mean that you need to step up into a new role. Maybe that's helping with sound and audio. Maybe that's helping with children's ministry. Maybe that's helping with students. Maybe that's helping with our seniors. Maybe that's helping with women's ministry. There's a lot of different places for you to serve here at the church. So be plugged in and be committed. Thirdly, when the time is right for the voting on the search committee, once again, we'll make sure everybody knows that date ahead of time, be here to vote. That's going to be really important who the members of the search committee are. That vote for the search committee really matters, okay? So those are kind of the three things that we can do right now in this season. If anybody has any questions, feel free to contact me. Feel free to contact Brother Frank Derkart. I appreciate Frank for all he has been doing. None of us really asked for this season, but this is the season that has been given to us. And I just really appreciate all that Frank has been doing and our deacon body. Real fast, can I have all of our deacons stand just so you see everybody? Have all of our deacons stand. You can look around, and I know many of you may know them. Some of you may not, and that's why I wanted them to stand. That way you can just see their faces. But I appreciate the deacons and everything that you all are doing in this season, and I really appreciate everything you've been doing, Frank, as well. Y'all may be seated. We can have a round of applause for them. But if you have any questions, I will help how I can. Feel free to message me. I will largely direct you to Frank and our deacon body on those decisions. But with that being said, let me pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Lord, once again, we come to you in prayer, knowing that we're welcomed into your presence. And Lord, as we are in a new season and we are in this season kind of unknown, so to speak, Lord, you know it all. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would direct us and guide us. And we know that you walk with us through this season. Lord, we just pray that we would be the church that you have called us to be and be the missionaries that you have called us to be. Lord, we love you and we thank you.
Help us to go from this place serving you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.